Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Oh, there we go. I haven't used this iPad yet. I've only had it a week, so. So, I was going to tell you about this senior citizen lady that wanted to get in shape. So, she went down and joined the health spa, get in shape, and a workout class. So she went to the class, and I mean, she squirmed, she jumped, she hopped, she sweated, ran around, crawled on the floor. But then after she got her leotards on, the class was already over. You know, if we go all the way back to the beginning, we look in the garden there and we see Adam, a physical creature, being able to perceive, recognize, and interact with the invisible God. So there was no disconnect on any level of their relationship. Romans 1:20 says, His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly perceived. Should think about that for a minute. Clearly perceived, not sort of perceived. Not just philosophically understood, clearly perceived. Ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So, if you get into an argument with an atheist about creation, you've got a real you're in a good position because you have proof for your position that God created everything. That is the universe. Now, the atheist has to explain how everything came into being without a creator. He's got a tougher job than you do. Yeah. So the invisible God is not the imaginary God. So Paul is saying that humans can observe the works of the invisible God and clearly. You heard about the scientists that challenged God. Said, God, you know, we've gotten so advanced now, we can do anything you can do. And God said, oh, yeah? And the scientist said, yeah. And God said, okay, I'll tell you what, let's have a little challenge here. You make a man. And so the scientist said, yes, I can do that. So the scientist reached down, grabbed some dirt off the ground, poured a little water in it, started doing like this. And God said, wait a minute. He said, that's my dirt. Now, skeptics say that anything we cannot see does not exist. Yeah. But, yeah, can't see the wind. You can't see love. You can't see justice. Can't see gravity, that's a good one. Kindness, hope, peace, happiness, undisputed realities. These are all undisputed. They do exist. How about your attitude? Does that exist? Yeah. And you know what? People can see it. Yeah, just talk to them for a while. Yeah, they'll get your attitude. Whether it's bad or it's good, it comes out. Colossians 1:15 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created in heaven on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. So, there you go. Everything we see that's visible was created by the invisible God. And what Paul is saying is that Jesus was the visible image, the accurate resemblance, the exact representation of God. You want to know what God is like? Listen to Jesus. Jesus said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So you want to know what God looks like? Well, I'm talking right now. Here's God talking. I and the Father are one. So here's a definition for you. The philosophy of naturalism, which is the prevalent philosophy in the world today, says that there is no invisible supernatural realm of the divine. All there is nature. pretty limited, isn't it? They've got a very narrow... Talk about being narrow-minded. They call us narrow-minded by saying God created everything. And there's much more to reality than any of us realize. Hebrews 11:27 says, by faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Then I like Leviticus 9:23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And I don't know what it looked like, but it seemed like it looked sort of like smoke. They saw the smoke on the mountain. They'd say, there's God over there. There's His glory. Get a glimpse of Him. Well, no, Adam and Eve got a little more than a glimpse. They walked with God in the cool of the evening. They talked things over. Talk about a close relationship. Acts 10:39 says, they put Him to death, hanging Him on a tree, but God raised Him on the third day and made Him to appear. By the way, resurrection, that Greek word there for resurrection is anastasis, which means to stand on your feet again. So it's nothing spiritual about it. There's Jesus standing right over there. Looks like He's cooking breakfast for us and motioning us to come on over. Yeah, He was standing on His feet again. But He said, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. So all this is to say is that the invisible realm is not meant to stay invisible. God created the visible realm and for us to interact there, but we can also interact over into the spiritual realm that is just as real, if not more real, than this physical existence. So, invisible realm is not meant to be invisible forever. Until then, it is up to us to model and represent the invisible God and His Son, Jesus. So just as Jesus brought to bear in the physical realm the power of the invisible God, so we are to represent and bring to bear the invisible Jesus to a physical world. So that if somebody hangs around us for a while, hopefully they might say, you know what, you remind me of Jesus. You know, the things that you're saying is just what Jesus would have said. The love in your eyes, it's the same love that I would perceive that be in Jesus' eyes for me. So they're finding out that Jesus wants to have a physical expression through us. So that old argument doesn't hold up that we sometimes say, oh, don't look at me. Oh, don't look at me. Don't judge me. No, wait. They are judging you. And they are trying to see, is Jesus in there or not? So Jesus was the visible likeness of the invisible God. Likewise, we are the visible likeness of Christ who wants to be visibly recognized in the physical world. John 17:21, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So how are they going to believe? They perceive by being around us, that Jesus was in God, Jesus is in us, the whole Trinity resides on the inside of us. There you go. People should be able to perceive that. Don't throw them off. Get them onto what's really going on the inside of you, and that's manifesting the likeness of the invisible God on the inside of us. But He wants it to come out. That's the point. So Jesus in His resurrection appearances was more than spiritually perceived. He was manifestly present in the midst of His disciples. So, what would God say and do if He were a man walking around on the earth? I don't know the answer to that. The answer is Jesus. That's what He would say, and that's what He would do. Like the first Adam was meant to be, Jesus was the perfect representation of God. So what would Jesus say and do if He were walking around on the earth today? The answer is the body of Christ. We're his representation. If you're a bad representation, that's not good. But we are a representation of what's on the inside of us. Think about this. In the book of Acts, the disciples were persecuted and killed because the Jews and the Romans thought they had gotten rid of Jesus. They had killed him already. And now here he is back because he's doing the same things that he was doing on the earth. Now he's doing them through his body, his disciples, his followers. To their dismay, he was back living in them, still healing, still preaching the kingdom of God, still raising people from the dead, casting out demons, just like Jesus. So how do we as believers make visible this invisible Christ? By showing his love, his kindness, his power, and his kingdom being at work in our lives. So that might be a good prayer for you to pray when you get up in the morning. Lord, I want your kingdom to be visible in me, with showing everybody I meet, not just at church, other church folks, but wherever I go, that the kingdom might be visible, that Jesus' love would be visible. Here's another question. So how do people know that God is gracious? How do they know? Yeah. Because you are gracious. Otherwise, they don't know that. You could preach a sermon on the grace of God, and they'll sit there and shake their heads. I don't know what you're talking about. You show them his grace, and then you'll say, that's it. They go, oh, now I have something to look at. So don't obstruct the world's vision of God. Let his love be clear, unambiguous. The early disciples were perceived as having been with Jesus. They'd say, these men are uneducated. These men are not spiritual. You never see these guys. We didn't see them in the synagogue or the temple. Look at them. But we can tell they have been with Jesus. And we should have the same reputation. So, our job is simple. Make known the invisible God wherever we go. Now, here's just a little thought for you. Maybe this is a stretch and maybe I'm off base. But think of this. God is invisible and you are invisible. Just think about that. The only way you're visible is you express yourself through your body. Because I can't see your spirit. But you talk for a while, and then I start getting a picture of who you really are. You are not your body. Your body is a container. I can't see you. So, in that sense, you're invisible, and you don't become visible until I begin to interact with you and I find out who you are and what you're like. Another question. Why are we commanded to be tender-hearted? Kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. So Christ will be visible. It's going to be the same answer every time, so y'all get ready for the next one. Why are we commanded to love one another? So Christ will be visible. Why are we commanded to put off the old and put on the new? So Christ will be visible. Why are we commanded to put on Christ? So Christ will be visible. Why are we commanded to humble ourselves? So Christ will be visible. I think I just said this. Yeah, your body does not represent you. You are invisible. I said that. Already, I'm ahead of myself. So you have to do something through your body to express yourself. Become visible. When we were younger, we wanted our bodies to represent us. So we worked out, we tried to look the best we could, and women, you wanted the men to whistle at you, and men, you wanted to be able to do this, and everybody go, ooh, wow, see, our bodies represented us. Today, not so much. Now we say, don't look at the outside, look at the inside. How do you know I'm happy? Anybody? Because I show happiness. I smile. it's not that hard to let your spirit out, to represent Christ. You may not be able to represent Him fully, but He wants to be a full representation when we get together and worship Him and meet together. But still, you're partial whenever you're out by yourself or your friends. So, good news, you can make Christ visible no matter what your body shape, wrinkled or smooth, toothy or toothless. So God is seeking expression through the bodies of Christians, through their vocal cords. He wants Christ expression, not self-expression. So nobody out there knows that you're a new creation. So what you do is you make you a little sign that says, I'm a new creature, and you walk around like this. Is that what you do? Oh, that'd be kind of embarrassing. Give expression, make visible, give voice to the creation that God has made of you. And He's still making. From glory to glory, He's changing me. So I'm going to be a better representation tomorrow than I am today. So, I hope, did anybody get it? Yeah, I just ran out of notes. Any questions? I got a closing prayer here. We'll do this in just a second. But I think it's a neat thought to me that God wants to express Himself through me. Not just, well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and you never show any fruit of that. Let Him express Himself through you, through your love, through your kindness, through your humility, through your willingness to do His will. All right, let's do our closing prayer. Here we go. Y'all just say it with me. God, I want to represent You to everyone I meet today by my love, my kindness, my helpfulness, my hope, and my faith. I'm going to add on there, and my attitude. I pray that others get a glimpse of the invisible God shining through my life. In Jesus' name, amen.